Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 61 of Stands and Fits, presented by the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. What's up, man?
What's up? Back in the studio.
Back in the Carl Chevrolet Studios here in Ankeny. We got bumped last week.
We did. The old guys wanted to talk about stuff.
Some guys named Williams and Bloom think they run
the show around here.
Yeah, they think that they're more important than we are. Think that people want to hear from them more than they want to hear from us. I don't know. If you ask me, I think that's BS.
Yeah, totally made up.
If you want to hear from that Williams guy, you can listen to his off-the-record podcast with some guy named Steve Prohm. I think that he's got a relatively important job up at Iowa State. And
that Williams guy might have a radio show too. I don't know. That's the rumor.
Yeah, if you want to hear him, you can hear him every day from 4 to 6 on 1460 KX Snow. But right now you're going to hear from us because that's
what we're here for.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. It's just how it's going to be. We don't really know what we're going to talk about today. We have things to talk about. Some of them we're not entirely sure how much we really want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure eventually the conversation will probably work its way there and we'll just kind of have to deal with it.
Yep.
Let's start with Talen Horton Tucker, though. Announced his intention to enter his name into the NBA draft. The statement that he gave was a little bit unclear as to
his final intention.
Right. You know, obviously guys can put their name in, they can test the waters, they can see, get the feedback, and then they have the opportunity to return to school. And the statement that Talen gave did not exactly give much encouragement that he will be making that return to Iowa State, I would say.
It was made with the tone that he had made up his mind, no matter what, he's starting a new era of mm-hmm. his own personal
A new chapter,
journey.
Yeah, yeah. The next chapter of his life.
Exactly.
And one thing I do think
we need to mention on this podcast, too, I've seen a lot of people say that as long as he doesn't hire an agent, then Iowa State still obviously could get him back. But new this year, they can hire agents and still come back to college.
Yeah, I don't think you can, like, hire an agent.
But you can work with an agent. Yeah.
I don't really know exactly how that whole rule works. But, yes, he can work with an agent that can give him lodging, get him meals, and get him to his workouts. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, I would say that Talen is not coming back based on that statement. And based on the way the mock drafts have been trending here over the last several weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Even though he didn't play that great down the stretch, he's kind of gone up in the drafts that I've seen. Like, I think he's gone in around 20 most of the time.
Yeah. And then Jonathan Wasserman from ESPN, formerly of Draft Express, I'm pretty sure. He has Talen as a lottery pick right now.
Man, that would be shocking. I mean, I get it. Obviously, he's got a huge wingspan. As the size that he is, how young he is, he's got a lot of stuff going for him. Like he can develop into a real nice player for the NBA down the road. But it's just like being an Iowa State fan and watching him be relatively inefficient in a lot of games, it's almost shocking that he's in that conversation.
Well, and that's why I think you see some people that are like, "Well, go enjoy
the G League,
and have fun in Europe and all this kind of stuff." It's like, no. That dude will get drafted. It depends on where it would be.
He'll get drafted. And, I mean, who knows? He might spend a year or two at the G League level at some point. But there's a reason that he's in those mock drafts that high.
Talen's also 18 years old. Mm-hmm. He won't be 19 until November.
Yep.
Which is, I think, actually is even on some level could be a positive, like a plus towards coming back. Because it's like, okay, well, even if you came back,
You're still going to be
the same age that most guys are.
Yeah.
When they go into the draft the first time.
I mean, I might be mistaken, but I believe when DeAndre Kane, like when he graduated from Iowa State, he was 24 years old. So if you think about it, THT has 6 more years until he's as old as DeAndre Kane was.
Well, I'm sure that Mariel Shayok's probably
23,
close to that same age.
Yeah, 23, 24.
Yeah. And it was funny. I'll read you a Facebook comment from, I think it was the story that I posted about that kid, Caleb Grill, mm-hmm. who came on a visit to Iowa State on Tuesday. And I posted just a story that he was coming on a visit. Mm-hmm. Somebody's, And I put it in a note in the bottom of the story, just like they didn't know how many scholarships they would have and all this kind of stuff. And then it was like, you know, with Talen Horn Tucker, he like declared for the draft and could potentially be a lottery pick. So like, don't rely on, like, don't bank on him returning to school. It's more or less like what I put as the line. And this guy's response, lottery pick, as cardinal and gold as they come, but put the pipe down before publishing.
See, that's the thing. Like, I would bet a lot of money that that guy does not watch the NBA.
I would bet a lot of money that that guy has absolutely no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah. I bet that guy has not looked at one single mock draft.
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not, I don't, we don't throw things out there just for,
yeah,
just like, oh man, I think Talen Horton Tucker should be a lottery pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to write this in my story.
Because obviously we as Cyclone fans be like, oh yeah, THT and Wigginton are going 1-2 this year's NBA draft.
Right. And I would say that if it's like, oh, I'm cardinal as gold, cardinal and gold as they come, I'm probably not going to go at it from the point of like, man, I think THT is going to be a lottery pick. Like, I'd probably go at it from a point of, man, I hope THT comes back because I think he'll be the national player of the year next year.
Yeah, exactly. It would benefit Iowa State more for Talen to come back.
See, and I think that's where there's an interesting conversation where you wrote about this in your mailbag, and we talked about this a little bit in Slack, where Iowa State had tried so hard at the end of the Hoiberg era. Okay, not tried so hard, I don't think this is really the specific thing that they were trying to do. But they were recruiting those guys who were in the one-and-done territory.
Yep.
And, you know, you miss on Rashad Vaughn, miss on Cheick Diallo. I don't know how realistic the chances that either one of those guys was going to actually come to Iowa State was. I don't think that they're realistic as what some people try to make them out to be.
Maybe. I mean, had Fred stayed, obviously Iowa State's chances would have gone way up, I think.
With Diallo?
With either of them, really. Yeah, I mean, yeah, more so with Diallo.
Yeah.
I mean, and Miles Bridges.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Miles Bridges. That's another one of those. Okay. Knowing what I know about the Fred era, I get it. I get where people are like, man, it's really easy to be like, man, if Fred had stayed, we would have had him.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like he didn't stay, and there was never any way to actually know that. The easiest thing to say is that, oh, if Fred would have stayed, we would have had him.
That's why I hate arguing hypotheticals. You don't know for a fact that those guys would have come.
I'm pretty confident, based on what I know about Rashad Vaughn's recruitment, that guy was never coming to Iowa State.
Yeah.
Pretty confident, too, about Cheick Diallo that, again,
never come
what
to
I
State.
Know about Cheick Diallo's recruitment, I don't think that guy was ever coming to Iowa State unless Iowa State was willing to do some things that we've criticized a lot of people for on this very podcast, on these very airwaves, and the people that on our forums have built up huge threads criticizing specifically one coach in the Big 12 for doing for a very long time.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And I think that's where there's a conversation to be had.
Yeah.
Do we want Iowa State to be that?
No.
I don't think anybody should.
Because when all this crap hits the fan, which it's going to probably sometime in the next few years, Iowa State should not want to be involved.
The sad fact of the matter is that if you want to get those guys,
you kind of got to get a little
more dirty. Often than not, that's what it's going to take. You got to sell your soul to the devil.
Yeah.
And I don't see Steve Prohm as a guy who's willing to go out and sell his soul to the devil.
No. So anyways, I brought up Miles Bridges, and it seemed like you were going somewhere with that when I said
his. No, it's just the same thing.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that his is as much that way, because he was a Michigan guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, I can't fault that kid for going to Michigan. It worked out perfectly fine for him.
Yep.
You know? I mean, he was, wasn't he like a two-time All-American?
Yeah, I believe so.
At one of the best programs in the country.
Yeah.
And played for one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. And then was a lottery pick in the NBA draft.
Yep.
I think you can make a point where it's like, okay, if Cheick Diallo came to Iowa State, you can point to a way that it would have gone differently for him. He hardly played at Kansas, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then Rashad Vaughn went to UNLV basically to never be heard from again.
Yeah, exactly.
And if he would have gone to Iowa State, he would have been one of the figureheads of that 14-15 team.
Yep.
Man, if it wasn't for Rashad Vaughn, Iowa State would not have lost to UAB. I can make that point. That's going to be the hill I'll die on.
If it wasn't for Rashad Vaughn, so explain.
If it wasn't for Rashad Vaughn going to UNLV, Iowa State doesn't lose to UAB.
So you're just saying if Iowa State had Rashad Vaughn, they would have beat UAB.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they would have been the number one overall seed, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Would have been the number one overall seed, would have won the national title if they would have had Rashad Vaughn.
Yeah. But anyways, so the whole
if it wasn't for the $150,000 handshake that those guys at UNLV gave Rashad Vaughn.
Which definitely happened.
Sorry,
anyways,
I was itching my head.
No, you're fine. So, and again, the reason we went down this one-and-done path, we need to get back on track here a little bit. We talked about Iowa State finally got a one-and-done player.
Yeah.
In Taylor Norton Tucker. The part I wrote about and the part we discussed in our Slack was that even though Iowa State finally got that one and done, I think a lot of fans were envisioning once that finally happened, it would lead to the program to some height that it had never reached before, or at least rarely has done in the past, or that guy would have went on to be a superstar, you know, and you know, attract a ton of headlines.
Yeah.
But for THT, that was not the case.
The funny thing is, though, let's think about some of the one and dones. In the history of college basketball.
Kevin Durant.
Here, I'm looking for a list.
Or are we thinking the
No, I'm thinking
here.
About I want to think about some of the places that they went.
Oh.
And like what
the reputation of those schools are, maybe.
Yeah, or like where what the hell? Where's the list at? Okay, here we go. Sharif Abdul-Rahim. Well, that's from the 90s. I don't care about that one. Carmelo Anthony. That's like before the actual one and done era, but mm-hmm. Marvin Bagley at Duke.
It's Duke.
I think Duke had already pretty much solidified themselves in their current stance, and in the era of one and done, which I think dates back to like 2008, the current era.
Yep.
Kentucky's won one national championship, and Duke has won one national championship. I think they've been to two Final Fours since like 2004. Duke has.
Mm.
And like I said, Kentucky's won one national title. So, in one of those years, they went undefeated largely with those one and done guys. So, I think you can, you know, look at that how it is. Lonzo Ball. They went to the Sweet 16, I think.
I don't remember.
At UCLA?
Might have been.
I'm pretty sure that's right. But, okay. So, they went to the Sweet 16. Michael Beasley. I don't know what Kansas State did that year. But I also firmly believe there was probably some shady stuff going on there.
Yeah,
going on with that situation.
I don't have any doubt about that one.
DeMarcus Cousins, I think they lost in the Elite Eight. Yeah. Anthony Davis, probably the best one and done of all time. Obviously won the national championship.
Yep.
National Player of the Year. Arguably one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. Kevin Durant.
Mm. Trae Young.
Yeah. Markelle Fultz. We've seen how it's worked out for Markelle.
Not the best.
Not the best.
And those Washington teams were bad, too.
I don't think they even went to the NCAA tournament.
Nope.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist obviously was a national champion. Kevin Love played for the national championship. Greg Oden played for the national championship at Ohio State. Jahlil Okafor, another Duke guy. Jabari Parker, another Duke guy, lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Julius Randle helped them. Yeah.
Kentucky.
Yeah, he was on the team that before the year they went undefeated, and then they did go to the national championship game. Derrick Rose lost the national championship game.
Yep.
D'Angelo Russell was really good at Ohio State. Ben Simmons, LSU, we all know how that one went. John Wall, we talked about his team. Trae Young, I mean, they were basically a complete dumpster fire by the time the season ended.
Mm.
The thing that I'll go back to with a lot of those things is that the guys who had teams that were actually successful did not go – they basically went to two schools if their team was any good.
They basically went to two schools if their team was any good?
Yeah, if their team was good with their year that they were one and done, they went to one of two schools.
Oh.
Kentucky or Duke.
Yep.
And those two schools did not really need one and dones to solidify themselves as being what they were. But I'm saying more often than not, the teams that are getting those one and done guys, I mean, they're not that much different than what they've ever really been before.
Very true. That's actually a really good point. Think about it that way.
I mean, I think Western Kentucky's had some one and done guys.
Yeah.
With the help of my Uncle Rick. I don't think anybody's ever accused Uncle Rick of being exactly the most law abiding or rule abiding coach in college basketball. Arizona, they've had a lot of one and dones.
Yep.
Also has never really done anything for them.
No.
Except now maybe get them into a lot of trouble.
Yep.
Kansas, since they really started taking a lot of one-and-dones, they've been to some Final Fours, but now they're going to be in trouble, and they've never won a national championship or anything like that. They're basically the same thing they've always been.
Yeah.
I guess the point of my thing is, it's like, how do one-and-dones really elevate anybody, you know?
Yeah. I mean, really, I guess they attract media attention.
Yeah.
Well,
really
that good.
That is one thing.
I mean, and you could say THT got a little bit of that in broadcast, but I wouldn't say he attracted national attention.
Well, I think you can say for THT, this is one situation where going to college severely benefited him, because he was nowhere near this level before he went to college.
No.
And so I would say it really benefited him.
Yeah.
But how much does taking those one and dones truly benefit the school at the end of the day? You know?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, unless you're Duke or Kentucky, probably not a whole lot.
Right. And at that point, you've basically hung your hat on that being your thing.
Mm.
You know, it's not about the anything else. It's just, we're going to go get the best players that we possibly can.
Yeah, that's basically what, especially Kentucky, has become now.
And think about what brand those two schools are with, and what brand has not gotten in trouble yet. And is allegedly going to, depending on whether or not you want to listen to a specific celebrity lawyer, probably wouldn't be that far down the road from getting themselves into trouble anyway.
Mm.
And we already know that with Kansas, I mean, they were willing to offer Zion's family $150,000 to go to Kansas.
Mm.
And I'm going to guess that not all of a sudden
he would turn down all that money.
Right. To be like, man, I want to go live in Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's the benefit of playing for the best basketball coach ever.
Yeah.
But he's not going to say no to $150,000.
I just look at the one and done thing. It's like, how much does that really change the face of your program?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the schools that already get them already had won a bunch of national championships before, and the ones that do get them now, a lot of times it really doesn't work out that well anyway.
Yeah.
Any different than what it ever would have before.
So then, okay, so shifting gears a little bit, this kind of brings up a topic that my friends and I have talked about. Do you really want to go after those one and done guys then, or do you want to go after the guys who are more like Tyrese Haliburton, who will stay for a while, you know, lend your program a little bit of consistency?
Let me put it this way. Look at the teams that are playing for the national championship this weekend.
Oh, yeah. They've got a lot of experience. Yeah.
There's not a single one-and-done guy on any of those teams.
Mm-hmm. A few transfers on Tech, though.
Yeah. Well, no. The transfers are one thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Matt Mooney and the Francis kid.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he transfer?
Yeah. And I think Odiase or whatever his name is.
No, Odiase has been there all 4 years.
I thought he went JUCO or something like that.
Well, maybe he did, but I don't think he was. I don't think he was
transfer. Not a Division I transfer, no.
Norrence Odiase. I feel like he's been there for a long time. He could be on the old man team.
It's been 4 or 5 years, I want to say. But I'm pretty sure he went somewhere before he went to Tech.
He has played 5 years for the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Really?
He has.
Huh.
As a freshman in 2014-15. Who could forget the 2014-15 Texas Tech Red Raiders?
What was their record that year? Were they like 500?
No.
Not even?
They were 13-19.
Ah.
I do remember, though. Here, let me look at their game logs.
They beat Iowa State. Yeah. We don't have to go there, Jared. We know.
No, I'm just – I just going to say they won 3 Big 12 games, and I was going to say, if I remember correctly, at least one of them.
One of them was Iowa State Texas Tech.
It was. Yeah, and then 15-16. I think that was the year before Chris Beard came.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, went 19-13. Got a little bit better. And then he was hurt in 16-17, which would have been Chris Beard's first year. And then he's been a key piece of their last two teams now.
Yep.
Which they had the Zaire Smith kid, who was a one and done, but he's a lot like Taylen. Where
he's uber athletic, a lot of potential down the line, but right now he's not a contributor in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know how many minutes he's played for the Philadelphia 76ers this year. But
well, he was hurt for a while too, I think.
Yeah, well, they found out he had a peanut allergy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they like somehow didn't know that he had a peanut allergy.
Oh. Well, that could hurt your basketball career if you don't attend to it.
He has played in two games for the Sixers this season. So I wouldn't be shocked if that ended up being kind of the way that it ended up for Taylen. But
probably.
Hopefully without the surprising peanut allergy.
Yeah. Yeah. Get that check before you enter the draft there, Taylen.
Right. Get your allergy tests.
Yep.
So to bring this to an end, I'm saying I get where it's like, man, the one and done thing didn't do anything for us.
Yeah.
It hasn't done anything for many people.
Very good point. So then here's, okay, so obviously one and dones overall don't benefit a program that much in the long run. Maybe even the short run, arguably. Like we said, if you can find the guys who are going to stay long-term, you know, be like Tyrese, those are great. Obviously, taking transfers who are a little more experienced is good too. So if you were a college basketball coach, say in Steve Prohm's situation right now, who would you most be pushing to bring to your team? Like, would you be prioritizing high school recruits right now? Would you be prioritizing grad transfers? What would you be doing if you were?
Well, I'd say it probably depends on how many scholarships you have. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. You know you have at least one.
So let's go on with the assumption that both Talen and Lindell are both gone.
Okay, so then you got three. Mm. Well, I would say if you can get a fifth-year guy, a guard, and it's like a guy who you know is going to be good, not somebody that averaged 6 points per game at Northern Illinois. It's like, man, we think this guy can really make a jump.
Yeah.
We've been there.
Yeah.
The big man who averaged 5 points a game at Louisiana Tech, we think he can really make a jump in the Big 12 this year.
Mm. Probably not going to happen.
The volume shooter from UT San Antonio, the mid-range legend, you know?
Like who are you talking about there, Jared?
We've been through this. I would say if you can get a guy like that, then it's worth it. But if you can't, try and get the best high school kid you can. Maybe try and get a sit-out guy. And then if you're left with one scholarship open, just bank it and try and do something in the mid-year or something like
that. So is this upcoming season a year that you would consider taking a sit-out transfer?
It all depends because it just depends on who's out there. Who's the sit-out guy? If it's Kira Lewis, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely down for taking Kira Lewis if it means that he's going to sit one and play two. Because that kid was like the best player, like the best freshman in the SEC. Mm-hmm. But if it's like some random dude and you can't get anybody to try and fill that void that can play right away, then no. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so here's another question kind of going on the same plane. So if, again, Iowa State has three open scholarships, what would be the number one hole you'd be looking to fill going into next year based on the roster that would be coming back?
I think you need somebody who can create their own shot. I mean, who's – of the guys coming back, who is capable of creating their own shot?
Maybe Prentice Nixon. I don't know. I haven't watched him play that much. He'd be my first guess. I don't think anyone else who played last year really has the capability.
See, I'm not sure how much of an offensive guy Prentice is. I mean, he could be a better offensive player than I'm thinking, but I think he's more of a defensive guy than what.
I agree with you. I do think that he was kind of forced into being more of an offensive guy when he was at Colorado State. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, he kind of fit that volume role a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll be asked to do that next year.
No. I think best case scenario, you find a fifth-year guy who's capable of creating his own shot and wants to either come up a level or is trying to do like what Mario Shayok did and just like carve out a bigger role.
Yeah. So then are you assuming that let's just say this, knowing that we have George Condit, Michael Jacobson, and Luke Anderson
and Solo
mm-hmm. coming back. Do you think that's good enough post depth or do you think they,
yeah, I don't think you got to worry about the front court.
Okay.
I mean, we were all wondering what are we going to do with all these guys if Cam Lard comes back?
Yeah.
Okay, you bring in a fifth-year guy in the front court, and it's like, well, now what are you going to do?
Yeah. And I do think that once Solomon Young comes back, that's like it's a guy that people kind of forget about too, because even when he did play this year, you could tell he wasn't 100%.
Yeah. No, I think the front court will be fine. I think if they're going to go out and make any additions for next season, it's got to be
backcourt.
Backcourt. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a front court guy to be a sit-out guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But I don't envision a scenario in which they're going to get a
immediate impact front court
guy, unless it's like a absolute stud, you know,
yeah,
guy that feels like a no brainer. It's like 2 years from now, this guy's going to be a 20-10 double double dude. Yeah. Dedrick Lawson.
I wouldn't turn down Dedrick Lawson.
No, I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Personally.
Yeah. I think a guy like that might be all right. I think he's probably okay, though. If he doesn't go to the NBA, I think he's got himself a pretty good spot to
Yeah.
To be in.
Yeah. I don't see him transferring again.
I don't either. I wouldn't be shocked if his brother ended up transferring.
Really?
From some stuff I was reading. I don't think it would probably only be if Dedrick left, went to the NBA. Their brother's going to Oregon though.
Really?
Their little brother.
I didn't know that.
Chandler Lawson.
Well, he had a better year than they did.
Who?
Or I guess was he in Oregon this year, or is he going to be going?
Yeah, he'll be a freshman next year.
So technically, he had a better run in the NCAA tournament than his brothers did.
Yeah, but he's not on the team.
Oh.
He's going to be a freshman next year.
Oh, going to be a freshman. Okay.
Yeah, he's in the 2019 class.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. So no, he did not have a better year than his brothers.
No, unless they won the state title at Memphis East, I guess.
Yeah. And are still playing. Maybe they're still playing for a title right now. Who knows?
He was one of those guys I think everybody thought would end up going to Memphis and playing for Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Penny's doing it all right, though.
Is he highly rated?
He was at one point. I know Iowa State at some time had offered him, I think. Because I remember writing about him.
Didn't Iowa State originally inquire about the Lawson twins when they were transferring, too?
I think so. Yeah, he's the number 86 player in the country.
So that's pretty good. That's right in the, I don't know, Monte Morris-ish range.
Yeah, he's a high-level four-star. And he's a 96 four-star.
Matt Thomas-ish range.
247 composite. Offers from Oregon, Ole Miss, Baylor, Florida, Georgia Tech, NC State, South Carolina. So he was pretty solidly a high-major guy.
Yep.
No offer from Kentucky. No offer from Memphis. Went on a visit to Kansas, but didn't get an offer.
That says a lot. When both your brothers are there and you don't get an offer.
I think those guys are okay.
They'll live. Yeah.
But still. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine. All right. I think we've talked about that all we can talk about.
Yep.
You got anything else you...
Not particularly regarding Talen. I think people wonder if we know when Lindell is going to say anything. And it could just be any day.
I'd say just don't be surprised at any time. It could come whenever.
And I fully expect him to declare. But again, it's another kind of thing where, you know, who knows? He could come back. You don't know.
Right. Yeah. I have no idea when it'll be.
I still maintain, and this, again, just my personal opinion, I do think that Lindell will be gone just because I think he's played this entire year with the mindset that this is my last year no matter what.
Yeah. I would probably agree with that. I really don't know, though. I mean, he could.
It's all going to depend on the feedback. If he basically is told that there's no way you go in the near the first round, then he could just come back and be like, I'm gonna blow the doors off everyone this year in college.
And if he came back, then that would actually fix a lot of the woes that we just talked about.
Yep.
You know, like that would be big time.
Yep.
For I mean, there'd be no doubt that he'd be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on, I guess, what you could find on like in the fifth year market again.
And it was tough because this year there were so many guys. Again, you had Merrill Shack, you had Wigginton, you had THT, who you know, mostly thrived with the ball in their hands. And then if you get rid of two of those guys, just bringing back Lindell, you can funnel a lot more offense through Lindell next year.
Well, yeah, and then you have Tyrese, like, to be his kind of his running mate.
Mm-hmm.
And Trey Jackson's a guy who can shoot the ball. Prentice, I think, can shoot the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just spread the floor out with your shooters and Lindell and – I mean, I think that we can both agree that team would be already on paper a hell of a lot better than the first team Lindell was on.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Just, it'd be all pluses outside of mid-range shooting.
That's two references you've made now on one pod.
And I haven't even said his name yet.
Nope. Don't have to. We know who you're talking about.
All right. The moment of truth. Do we want to talk about it?
I don't think we do.
Okay. I don't want to.
I don't want to either. Because we already talked about it on last pod. We talked about it for about 20 minutes. It was a solid conversation. And I think anything that we would repeat about it would, or anything that we would say about it would be a repeat of what we've already said, basically.
Yeah, and I know that people are tired of hearing me talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to.
You Nebraska fan, you?
I don't even come at it from that angle.
I know. I'm just speaking on behalf of the fans.
I'm just saying that anybody who thinks it's not a story is an idiot.
Yeah. Well, and we talked about this before we came on air. People were complaining about the local reporters going over there to cover his introductory press conference, and I don't fault them at all.
No.
What else are those guys going to do right now?
Well, it's not even that. It's that – no, we're not going to do this. It's not even that. Right. It's
we're diving into that a little bit.
It's that he remains an Iowa State legend forever, regardless of, oh, my God, he's not the mayor anymore. Okay, think whatever you want. The dude's still an Iowa State legend. He's still the former coach at Iowa State. He's still got a job a couple hours down the road. People are going to cover it regardless of what anybody here thinks. It's still a story.
Yeah.
Their job is not to be your voice. Mm-mm. Their voice is to cover the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say. Defending my brothers in the media for a minute.
There you go. I mean, and I would say that qualified as a discussion about the media, not a discussion about he who shall not be named.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So let's, maybe we can just briefly talk about what we think about the Final Four.
Okay. Who do you think is going to win?
I actually put a high likelihood on Texas Tech winning. I really like their defense.
Man, what podcast was it that I was on that I said I thought Texas Tech would make the Final Four? Was it this one?
It might have been. I don't know. We talked about it a lot.
I remember I said that at some point that I thought they were playing as good enough to go to the Final Four.
Their defense has been so good this tournament. And they're just clicking right now.
Yeah. Their team is really good.
And they've got a star.
That coach is really good.
Yeah.
I'm still mad at him, but that coach is really good.
Yeah. Again, Jared Culver is probably going to be a lottery pick.
Yeah.
So they've got all the pieces.
I feel kind of bad because somebody tweeted at me the other day and they're like, or I'm a little worried about myself here because they tweeted at me and Kirk Holland. They said something about Texas Tech in year three going to Final Four. It's like, can you back off the fans for trying to get higher expectations or something like that?
Oh, brother.
And I was like, I'll feel bad about that when Steve Prohm misses the Final Four with a lottery pick who grew up in Lubbock.
Yeah, exactly. That fell into Chris Beard's lap. And don't get me wrong, he's still an incredible coach, obviously.
And then I saw that Talen Horton Tucker was projected to be a lottery pick.
That's the punchline. That's what we were waiting for. Yeah. But anyone with a brain can know that Jarrett Culver is obviously producing much more consistently than Talen Horton Tucker is.
Also, Jarrett Culver at one point, I think, was like projected to be like the number two pick in the draft behind Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
Before we found out that Ja Morant is basically Superman in a Murray State uniform.
Okay, that brings up me doing another question. If you were an NBA GM, is it an automatic, I'm drafting Zion with number one, no doubt?
Yes, absolutely.
I hadn't watched Ja Morant play until that first Murray State game in the tournament, and my goodness, he is so good. I would have to think twice. I've seen them both play live now. Ja Morant's really good.
Zion Williamson will make first team All-NBA in 5 years. Within 5 years. First team.
Okay.
Book it right now. I guarantee it. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Writing this down.
Write it down. We'll pin it on the wall.
Okay.
Pinned.
I saw a great quote. Zion Williamson is basically Draymond Green with a rocket up his butt.
Who said that?
Some anonymous NBA scout or something like that, I think. But that's pretty funny, but at the same time, I think
it's actually very accurate.
It is, except Zion has a better outside shot, I would say.
Yeah. I don't know. Think about those years when Draymond was really playing well. He's not playing as well as he was.
That's true. His
those first couple years
down.
Are there.
He used to be able to space the four pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, and now it's turned into we're going to let Draymond shoot and hope he just shoots him out of the game.
Exactly, because, I mean, you look at all the other people who are going to be taking shots with the Warriors.
I would say the unfortunate thing is the other four guys all do, or at least three of the four guys can do enough to make up for whether or not Draymond wants to shoot him out of the game.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, the guy plays hard. He cares. He distributes. I like that comparison.
Mm-hmm.
The rocket up your butt thing is like a little bit, it's not exactly delicate in the sense of just
but it's a great
NBA comparison, but I think that is that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Very to the point.
Like I said, that guy will be first team All NBA in 5 years.
What do you think Morant's ceiling is?
Will be good. I mean, he'll be a good player.
Do you think he'll be an all-star?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, those first couple picks, like you're picking to be for a guy that's going to have all-star potential.
Do you think that RJ Barrett is overrated?
Yes.
Because I do. That's basically what I was going to say.
He basically lost them that game on Saturday.
Yep. Why would you not basically give Zion the ball and just let him go to work?
I will say, too, I think this is the worst coaching job that Coach K has ever had in his entire career at Duke.
Yep. They had so much talent this year.
I think he's gotten lazy almost. Where before it was like he didn't get guys like this. Mm. And he really had to coach people up. And now he's just getting these dudes that are just complete freaks.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have to really coach anymore. These guys are freaks.
And if you think about even though they got to the Elite Eight, they had a couple really close games where they could have gotten beat.
They should not have been in the Elite Eight. They should have lost to UCF.
Yep.
They should have lost to Virginia Tech.
Either of those games they should have lost.
And they got up against a team that had good talent and was well coached, and that's when they got themselves into trouble.
Yep.
You know. And they still had a chance to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, down in the final minutes.
If you don't have a chance to win with that much talent, then something is majorly wrong.
And that's where I'm like, if this team was actually a real basketball team and did anything offensively and not just like stand out of the way for RJ or Zion, then they would have won the national championship.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, Coach K did not coach this team very well.
Yeah.
Got lazy.
I don't think his style meshes with the one and done that well.
He let Jeff Capel sell his program soul to the Blue Devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anywho.
All right. You're taking Tech to win the title?
I'm taking Tech to win the title, and I think they will play. I think they'll play Virginia.
Yeah, and the final score will be 37-34.
Yep.
Final score 37-34. Jarrett Culver with a buzzer beater to win the game.
It could be one of the lowest scoring national title games, probably within the last 30 years at least.
There will be 55 possessions in the game.
Yeah. So, what do you agree with that? Do you think Virginia will be the representative from that side?
Yeah. I like Auburn, though. I just don't think that they can – Virginia's good.
Yeah.
But I think Tech's going to win. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have ever guessed 5 years ago? Who would have guessed that Texas Tech would have the best chance to win a national championship of any team besides Kansas in the Big 12?
Never would have in a million years.
When is the last time a team besides Kansas won the big national title from the Big 12?
Oklahoma State, probably.
Yeah, like when? Like in the 40s? Oh, my gosh.
No. It was in the 90s or something like that. I'm pretty sure Doug Gottlieb was a member of that team.
When they won a national title?
I'm pretty sure.
They lost to Arkansas with Big Country.
Unless I'm misremembering and just thinking about Big 12 titles.
Or no, they may be here. NCAA basketball. I had to make a note there. I don't think you heard me.
Mm-mm.
I dropped an F-bomb.
Why'd you do that, Jared?
I didn't mean to. Okay. Oklahoma A&M, which now is Oklahoma State, they won the national title in 1945, 1946. Kansas won it in 52. Yeah. Kansas won it in 88.
Yeah, you're right. I was not thinking correctly. They went to the Final Four in 2004.
Yeah.
That's what I was remembering.
That was with John Lucas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think Kansas is the only team from the Big 12 that's ever won a title.
That's kind of sad.
So there we go. Who would have ever guessed? Texas would be the second team.
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech would be the second team from the Big 12 to win the national title.
Yep, never would have guessed.
Never would have guessed. All right. You got anything else to say about Final Four?
Nope. Go. I will say that I both think Texas Tech will win, and I am wholeheartedly rooting for them to win.
I'm wholeheartedly rooting for those kids. I'm not rooting for their coach.
You and Chris Beard, man. What's the beef, man?
At this point, I think that it just needs to stay between me and him.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. Has your faith wavered in Bruce Weber?
Hell no.
Okay.
Do we have mailbag questions to answer?
We do, yeah.
We'll do that after a break.
Okay.
We'll answer some mailbag questions after a break. We'll do hot and not, all that stuff. We'll be right back on Stands and Fits, presented by the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State, from the Carl Chevrolet Studios on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Lawn care with unmatched service. Landscapes custom designed. Sprinkler systems installed and serviced.
Thanks, Central Iowa, for 30-plus years of your support.
A-plus lawn and landscape.
Hey, guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers. And everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care, and you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. personalized eye care, designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic.
Hey guys, it's Jared here with another message from MechDyne. Are you looking to jumpstart your IT career, or maybe you're a student looking to earn some extra cash? Well, listen up. MechDyne is currently looking to hire both full-time and part-time IT help desk agents to respond to and help troubleshoot client IT technical issues. You can get your foot in the door at an awesome company with a super fun culture that I've seen firsthand with my own eyes. So go visit the career page at MechDyne.com. That's MechDyne.com. Check them out today.
All right, time to dip into the mailbag.
All right.
Shut up. Quit laughing at me.
We a little bit spoiled this first mailbag question because we discussed it briefly. Cy Jeans asks, was the scouting report on Prentice Nixon? I have seen his highlights from previous seasons, but what is the rumblings from the redshirt year? Coming into this year, we kind of knew Shayok was going to be the dude.
Yeah, I think he can really defend. I think he's tough. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that they really could have used on this year's team.
Explain that more, just for the toughness standpoint?
Yeah, just somebody that can be kind of a mother effer. I'm not going to say it again.
That's what we were laughing about over break. Mm-hmm. So, anywho. Okay, so.
Hope you guys enjoyed my little bleep that I had to put in there.
That was nice. Okay, so moving on. I don't really have anything to add. Cooler If You Did asks, imagine a teleporter is invented. You get to use it for a week before anyone else, and there will be no record with how you use it. What are three ways that you are going to abuse the technology?
So if it's a teleporter?
It's a teleporter. It's not a time machine. It'll instantly transport you somewhere else.
Does coming home count to my three trips? Or are these round trips?
Well, okay. It just says, what are three ways you would use it? So,
First of all, I think that I would have to teleport to Chris's house or something like that. Just for absolutely no reason besides the fact that I have a teleporter.
Just craps and giggles?
Yeah, it's just like, hey, I've got a teleporter. And I have to like rub it in everybody's face.
See, and when he says ways to me, I think if you use it one way, then you can continue using it that way for that entire week, mm-hmm. is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So
for every meaningless trip that I have to go to anywhere, I would teleport there always.
Yes. You can't just use it. So you can't just say all meaningless trips I can use it for.
Yeah. Wait, what?
So like I'm saying if you want to use it to go grocery shop, and go fill up, not fill up your car on gas because you can't teleport your car too. But you know, like stuff like that, you can't say I'm using it for the grocery shop and haircuts. That's two separate ways.
Okay, if I want to go to Casey's, you know, that up around the corner.
Yeah. Save yourself 2 minutes of walking.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's maybe a 10-minute walk to back to Casey's. I would teleport there, just because I could. I'd suddenly appear in the parking lot.
Okay. I think my first way would I would open up some kind of shop. I can't say this though, because I was gonna say like I'd open up a shop and be like I'm selling world goods that you can only get from specific parts of the world. But technically, if I'm teleporting every which way in the world, that counts as more than three ways, I would say. So, but I'm trying to
just try and make as much money as possible
exactly.
in 1 week.
With any of these, and especially with a lot of our would you rather's, I just think about how ways I can monetize it. How can I
think
how,
this says a lot about your personality.
How can I become a billionaire off this technology?
It says a lot about my personality by the fact that anytime I have one of these situations, I'm like, what's the best way that I could use it to rub it in my friends' faces that I have this technology at my disposal?
Or just go get Casey's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very simple-minded of you.
How can I make my life easier?
Yeah. When I read this, my first initial thought before anything else was like, oh, I just use it to go teleport into a bank vault, rob a bank. Except the problem is, even if I did that, there's cameras everywhere. It's mm-hmm. not like you'd get off with it. I
mean, obviously, you wear a ski mask. Come on.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Wear bank robbing mask. Rookie here. Come on.
Wear a ski mask. Wear some high heel shoes or not high heel. Platform. I'm not a cross dresser. Don't say anything.
Okay. I would probably transport to the Final Four.
I am going to the Final Four.
Would you? Or are you?
I am going to the Final Four. I'm going there for selling at my job.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Are you going to the games?
No.
That'd be fun, though.
It will. I'm excited to just kind of see what the atmosphere is like. because I've never been to a Final Four.
If you run into Bob Huggins, call me and put me on speakerphone with him.
Does he know who you are?
No, probably not.
So why do you want to be on speakerphone with Bob Huggins?
Just because I hear that he really holds court at those kind of things.
Oh.
Like if you just end up in the corner of a dingy bar Bob Huggins, like...
He's got some stories to tell.
Right. Throw me on speakerphone. I want to hear some Bob Huggins stories.
Okay.
Or if you run into Bruce Weber.
Yeah, obviously.
I believe that Bruce Weber might actually know who I am, though. We know
Scott Drew does.
I like to believe that Bruce Weber knows that there's one person here standing for him. That's me.
Somewhere, at some point, Bruce Weber has listened to Stands and Fits and heard you just salivating over his coaching abilities.
I stand harder for Bruce Weber than Kansas State fans stand for Bruce Weber.
That's probably a true statement. So
I want him to end up at like some little school. I don't want them to fire him, but I want him to end up at...
Indian Hills Community College?
Well, okay, not that little. I don't want him all the way off the map. I want him at like...
He would be off the map in Ottumwa, Iowa. Come on.
Okay. Okay.
But you're thinking like somewhere like UNI or something like that?
Oh my God. If Bruce Weber was at UNI, dude, I'd go start Panther Fanatic.
Really? Would you get UNI season tickets?
Absolutely. I would be there to be Bruce Weber's biggest fan. Nice. I would get a shirt that just like something about Bruce Weber. Man, I'd listen to Gary Reimer on every call talking about Bruce Weber.
I can only imagine that.
It would be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I haven't been on Gary Reimer's show in a while. I must have done something to make those guys mad.
Well, maybe it's the fact that UNI is not doing that well, and they're like, oh, we're not going to bring the Cyclone on in the year that a UNI is not doing good.
They had me on during football season all the time. I was on a little while during basketball.
Probably because you and I was doing pretty good during football season.
Man, that makes me sad. I wonder what I did to the sports guy.
I don't know. Go back and listen to whatever your last appearance was, and something went wrong, obviously.
I know. All right. What we got else?
That was it for mailbag questions. We didn't really answer that well, but, I mean, you get the gist of what we would try to do, I guess.
Basically, I would use it for nothing.
You'd use it for nothing. I'd use it for personal gain. So.
Sounds about fair.
Yep.
All right. Hot and not. I didn't fill any of these out this
week. Wow, Jared. Really fits the personality of someone who would teleport to Casey's, cutting some corners.
5 minutes from my apartment.
Exactly. All right, anyways, I'll start it off since you have nothing for hot and not. My hot.
No, I can think of something.
Well, yeah. Good job. My hot this week, Russell Westbrook. Obviously, he had a double, triple-double. 20 points, 21 assists or rebounds, one of the two. I didn't actually pay attention. And 20 of the other non-assists rebounds. So, good for Russell. And that leads into my knot. Let's go straight to my knot. Apparently, he did that as a tribute to Nipsey Hussle or something like that, or that was the story made up.
Yeah, it was a tribute to Nipsey Hussle. R.I.P. Nipsey.
Okay, and the knot is obviously, I had never once heard of Nipsey Hussle. So obviously, you are a rap guy. Explain to me why basically my Twitter feed was blowing up over this news.
Because I have some uncultured swine over here.
Okay, I pulled all my friends. None of my friends had heard of him. I've seen a ton of other people say they'd never heard of Nipsey Hussle.
Well, I have heard of Nipsey Hussle.
So go on. Okay. Explain to me Nipsey Hussle.
Just good artist. I don't know. Like, what is there for me to explain to you?
Like, the way people reacted on Twitter, it was like the second coming of Jesus Christ, like, was dead.
Well, okay. Come on. Let's not overreact here.
I mean, it's a little bit of hyperbole, obviously, but people were acting like this big influence, like he was like a great guy.
Well, I think he was a big influence, maybe not in rural Iowa.
No, and I understand that.
But I know he was really big, like in LA, was his big spot.
Okay. So you still haven't done a good job of explaining it to me. Like,
I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm the world's biggest Nipsey Hussle stan.
Okay, so even if you're not, like, explain to me, like, what is a good comparison for his level of impact in the rap community to someone that I would know?
I don't know. I don't listen to his music like that. But
so, like, say in terms of college basketball coaches, who is the college basketball coach that represents Nipsey Hussle? As Nipsey Hussle was in the rap community. Is Nipsey Hussle the Bruce Weber of the rap community?
Okay. Okay. Come on. Calm down. Okay?
Okay.
Well, he was nominated for a Grammy. I think that's one of the big things, is it's like he's 33 and he was finally starting to get his feet under him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets killed. I don't know.
Okay. So you were, okay. So you, obviously you admitted you're not necessarily the world's biggest Nipsey Hussle.
But I know that he was really influential, like in the community. Mm-hmm. Like it says here, in the days leading up to his death, Hussle had reached out to officials from the LAPD about having a meeting with him and Roc Nation about what they could do to help prevent gang violence in South Los Angeles. The meeting had been scheduled to take place Monday, April 1st, but was scuttled due to Hussle's untimely death the Sunday before.
So from what I gather, it seems like he had a good heart.
Yeah, I think he just did a lot in the community and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he owned a store, Marathon Clothing in South Los Angeles.
So maybe going back to the college basketball comparison. Who's a college coach that you would say?
No, that's a really weird question to ask.
Well, I'm just trying to get a sense of what
Why do you have to sit here and crap on people that why are they all so worked up about why Nipsey Hussle died?
I'm not crapping on him. I'm just saying I've never heard of Nipsey Hussle, so I don't get why.
Do you have to hear of him for it to be important?
I don't. I'm just saying, like, I need to understand why I'm seeing so much reaction to it. I don't understand it because I've never heard of him.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know.
I feel like he probably fits into the culture that most NBA players fit into probably better than you and I do.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about that. Yeah.
There's some key demographic differences.
I guess I was just shocked that like so many people reacted to hearing of his death, and I had never once heard of the guy. Because obviously there are people, I know of a lot of rappers.
Yeah.
But I had never once heard of Nipsey Hussle.
Well, speaking of rappers, my hot this week is Lil Nas X. do you know who Lil Nas X is?
I've heard of Lil Nas X. Yes.
From Old Town Road? The song Old Town Road?
Yeah. Yep.
I'd never heard this song until I saw the video of Texas Tech dancing to it.
It's basically a marriage of rap and country.
Might be the greatest piece of American songwriting in the history.
Oh my God.
In history.
I heard the song and I rolled my eyes harder than I'd ever.
Every time that I hear it, I just vibe.
Goodness gracious.
Gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road.
This is more embarrassing than you saying you would teleport to Casey's.
No, it's a phenomenal song.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's bad.
No, when you hear, what is it he says? He's like, riding on my tractor, lean all in my bladder, cheated on my baby, you can go and ask her, my life's like a movie.
All right, people are unsubscribing.
Bull riding in boobies.
People are unsubscribing from the Psychophonetic
Cowboy
podcast.
Cowboy hat from Gucci, Wrangler on my booty.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I did see that it was funny because that song debuted on the Hot Country 100 or whatever it is,
yeah.
And then got taken off.
Yeah, that was a whole big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why, because it's not really actually like a country song.
When I listen to that song, I would describe it more as hip hop.
That is a trap song. It's trap country.
Trap country. I did not know such a subgenre existed.
One of America's greatest genres, trap country. The fact that there's not more trap country is actually a little bit disappointing.
Okay, serious question. Are there other trap country songs?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That Lil Nas X says that he considers Young Thug as the godfather of trap country, which I would have never guessed that because I've listened to a lot of Young Thug songs. I wouldn't put them into the trap country category. But, I mean, the reason that it's called that is because there is, like, banjo and stuff like that in it. It's not all just trap music, you know?
Yep.
There are elements of country music besides the riding on my tractor and
I was going to say, the lyrics fit exactly what you'd imagine from
but the flip from riding on my tractor, lean all in my bladder is one of the great, like, two-line splits in the history of rap music.
See, that's it. When I heard it the first time, I was like, this is a parody, isn't it? Like, that's what it seemed like.
I don't think it really is. I mean, it is.
Like, it seemed like it was just, like, mocking some kind of genre.
It got big, like, on TikTok. Did you know that?
Did it? Yeah, yeah. I know TikTok.
It was, like, an internet thing. It was all, like, a joke, and then it blew up and became this huge song.
So it was helped by the meme community.
It legitimately is a really good song, though. I think that's really well done. That guy's going to make music that's actually really good.
Is this his first hit, or is he known
He doesn't have a single other song on Spotify.
Seriously?
Yes.
Do you know anything else about Lil Nas X?
Yeah, I think he's from Atlanta. I read a story about him on Billboard, but...
Gotcha.
riding on my tractor, leaning all in my
bladder.
The
sad thing was I had heard
cheated on my baby
about Lil Nas
go
X,
and ask her.
But I had never heard of Nipsey Hussle. That's probably backwards from what the way it should be.
Probably. But hey, Old Town Road bangs. That's all I know.
Whatever, dude. All right, so you have to come up with a knot now.
My knot, people who hate on rappers who tragically die outside of their store
I
in South
not
Los Angeles.
I do hate on people who reference Nipsey Hussle. That is completely fabricated.
City election candidates.
Was he?
No, I'm just saying that's my knot this week. City election candidates.
Oh.
Candidates for the lead office in a city.
Mm.
Not actually, but I don't know.
No, I gotcha. We can move on.
Yeah. I don't have a knot this week.
Do you want to look up a couple would you rathers just so we don't have to end on this sour note?
I feel like you're quite annoyed with me right now.
I'm a little bit annoyed by you, but it's all right. We got to finish on a strong note.
Just because of what I said about you. You said that about Nipsey Hussle, not me.
What did I say that was bad about him?
Who is this guy? Why is everybody so worked up
about
him?
That's not because I'm mad at him. I'm just, I didn't know who he was. I legitimately wanted to.
I'm not saying you're mad at him.
I wanted to get the lowdown from Jared Stansberry on why I should care.
I'm not saying you're mad at him. I'm just saying, hey, if you died tomorrow, everybody, man, I'm really sad that Fitzy died. Everybody's be like, who the hell is Fitzy?
That's because I'm not famous.
Okay, well, I'm sorry Nipsey Hussle's not famous enough for you.
No, but he was famous, but I had never heard of him. And I was wondering, like, how is that possible?
Not everybody has to live their lives in the spotlight, Kevin.
You're right there. Anywho.
All right.
Let's move on.
1 and 250.
249. Scroll.
Okay, I think we already did that one.
248.
Would you rather live inside a museum or live inside of a zoo? That's actually a pretty good question.
It kind of depends on which museum.
All right. Can we live in a world in which we assume that the night at the museum is not real?
I was wondering if that was where you were going to go with this. Yes, we are assuming that that is not real.
Okay. I'd probably live in the zoo then because I'd want to be around other living things.
Agreed. Because...
If Night at the Museum was real, then absolutely I would live in the museum.
Yeah, that'd be
in the
be
Museum
cool.
of Natural History.
But, yeah, I want to be around animals just because even though you can't communicate with them necessarily, you can they can feel feelings. I fully believe that. Animals know human feelings. So.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's an easy question.
Okay.
Easy answer.
What else you want?
247.
Making it easy.
Yeah.
Would you rather never be able to eat spicy food again or never be able to eat sweet food again?
Never be able to eat spicy food.
Yeah, I'd probably agree.
I mean...
I like spicy food.
I do like spicy food, too. I'm not anti-spicy food, but...
I'd be very sad that I couldn't eat my buffalo anymore. My buffalo sauce.
Mm-hmm. I'd be much sadder to never be able to eat chocolate again, though. That's a little bit white girly of me, but it's a fact. Chocolate's good.
Well, you gotta... Why are you doing so much just pigeonholing people into certain categories today?
It's a stereotype. I'm just pointing out the obvious stereotype. White girls like chocolate.
All right. Give me one more.
242. Make you work a little bit.
Would you rather get free unlimited taxi/Uber rides or free unlimited plane rides?
Plane rides.
I'd probably rather get the unlimited taxi/Uber rides.
I hardly ever use Uber. Like, I use it when I go somewhere on a plane and I don't do a rental car.
Yeah.
That's the only time. Like, I don't get rides over from bars or anything like that because I don't really ever go to bars.
I just know realistically that I would never really fly anywhere because you still have to pay money once you get there. Okay, you get the plane ride, but what are you going to do after that, you know?
Well, I mean, like, if you don't have to pay for a plane ride, you could go to Hawaii and just, you know, that's the thing. Like, think about how much a plane ticket to Hawaii costs. That itself is a huge mega expense. And even though you're going to spend money in Hawaii, what's the difference between going, if plane ticket isn't a cost, what's the difference between going to Okoboji Beach versus Hawaii Beach?
Why are you mansplaining me right now?
Why is this mansplaining? It's not mansplaining.
You're talking down to me.
I'm giving context.
You're talking down to
me. Wow, we are beefing on this pod this week. We got a little bit of tension going on right now.
You were talking down to me, and I don't appreciate it.
I was not talking down. I was giving context, and I maintain that position.
Sorry that I would prefer to just stay in my hometown of Well, this is my hometown, but I'm sorry that I would prefer to stay in my metro.
This all goes
I'm
back.
I'm tired of traveling around the country, going to Kansas City for a week, going to Tulsa. I'm done.
This is exactly the same thinking of teleporting to Casey's. It's the exact same thing. Your mind is on a one-track pathway, and you need to branch out a little bit, Jared.
Do you know how many trips to Casey's I could take if I had all the free Uber rides I wanted?
You could take a lot of trips.
A lot of trips. I could go to every Casey's in the metro.
Now, here's a point that you haven't brought up yet. Even though it would take longer, you could technically Uber across the country.
Hey, there we go.
But
How's it any different?
Well, because
what can you do with your plane rides in Des Moines? Nothing. Nothing.
I just be my regular life in Des Moines.
The possibilities for me are endless.
The possibilities for me are endless. You can't Uber to China.
I could. We could drive to San Francisco, drive to a boat, and drive the car onto a boat.
Drown across the Pacific Ocean.
No, drive the car onto a boat, ride the boat across the ocean to China, and then get off, the car off, and then you know what? We're right there.
You got to pay for the boat, which is probably going to cost even more than a plane ticket.
Well, how much does freight cost? Like, come on.
Who's just going to let you on freight?
Well, that's when you have to befriend the foreman.
So then you have to befriend the
buy him a few beers.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Agree to be his first mate. I think that I've got this entire plan really worked out here. Okay?
I'd just really rather pay for a free plane ticket. I could even sit in first class because my plane ticket in first class is free. I could be there in less than a day. Well, that sure sounds like a lot less hassle.
Well, do you get the experience of living on a pirate ship out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean? No, you don't.
No, and I am better for it.
Thanks to the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Thanks to Carl Chevrolet. Talk to you guys again next week. We don't have anybody to beat anymore.
Go Iowa State baseball. Big season coming up. Real excited.
Who does the softball team this play this week?
I don't know.
They were supposed to play a game against Drake today. It got postponed.
No, it'll probably be made up, so beat the Bulldogs.
Beat somebody. Beat the offseason. Talk to you guys again soon. Peace.